Let's do Fan Friday with Mickey the Blue and Jay the Red. And, of course, there's still plenty to talk about. Everton's manager still not firmly nailed down. We know it's going to be Koeman. We'll have a chat with Mickey in a moment about that one. And, of course, with Jay, there's plenty to discuss, including Daniel Agger and what he meant to Liverpool Football Club. He's decided at the age of 31 to hang up the boots. He was always struggling with injury. Morning to you, Jay.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Yeah, good thoughts about Daniel Agger. Good memories. For me, it was the goal against Chelsea. That was the one, the big moment.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Daniel Agger. It was just a shame, really, that his career was blighted with injuries, wasn't it? And obviously now you can see that, you know, at the age of 31, he's had to retire from football, and it's sad, really. And, you know, he was part of the Liverpool team that went to, you know, obviously the European Cup final, and you know, we were quite good, weren't we, under the days of Daniel Agger? And it is a shame because the season when Liverpool nearly won the title, if he probably would have played a few more games, Liverpool could have just maybe have done it. He was a very good defender, but, you know, like I say, injuries took the toll on his career. And my favourite moment was when Fernando Torres left Liverpool to go to Chelsea, and he gave him a little bit of, you know, aggro, didn't he, at Stamford Bridge when he elbowed him in the face.
He's one of those, I think you touched on it then, if only he'd played consistently for the entire time he'd been at Liverpool Football Club, I think the impact he would have made on this British game would have been far greater.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you'd always recognise when Liverpool played with Daniel Agger in the side, we'd play a little bit further forward up the pitch because you could rely on the midfielders, could rely on them because he had that little bit of pace and he was like a footballing centre-half, so we could bring the ball out of defence as well. He had a very good left foot on him, and you know, like, it's just a massive shame really that his career had to be cut short.
He had that lovely passion for the club as well, didn't he? He had the tattoo on his knuckles, "You'll never walk alone." He was Liverpool through and through. And a two-man club, and obviously he has the passion for Bromby. He started there, he finished there as well. But it's nice in some ways when you see a player who's only been at sort of two football clubs.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's Danish, isn't he? I mean, we always look at someone like Jamie Carragher, who just played for Liverpool throughout his career and never played for another club. And, you know, you've got Ryan Giggs, haven't you, at Manchester United as well. I get it's a bit different because obviously he's a foreign lad, and, you know, Bromby was his boyhood club, wasn't it? And then he came to Liverpool and he just loved the club as well. As you say there, he got the tattoo, didn't he? You never walk alone on his hands. And, you know, things like he was linked to big money moves, wasn't he, to Barcelona. And I think it was on the back of that when he got the Liverpool tattoo because he was settled in the city, he loved it here. It's just unfortunate, really, that his career's been cut short.
Right, I think we can welcome Mickey. Morning to you, Mickey.
Yeah, morning, boy.
How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, some lines this morning about John Stones. Doesn't want to go to Barcelona. He wants to go to Manchester City. Are you expecting that even with Ronald Koeman's arrival, he might just keep one of the magical three at Everton, Mickey?
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, I'm hoping that we keep Ross. Obviously, you know, Romelu Lukaku looks like, you know, he definitely wants out. And Stones, he was one that I was definitely expecting to lose. And I suppose, you know, if he's going to go anywhere, then, you know, for Evertonians, I suppose for him to go to City is probably our best option because they're the one that have got, you know, they've got the big books. So I know we rejected the 40 million bid, obviously, from Chelsea last year. So it'll be interesting to see how much that John Stones goes for.
Yeah, so it's all about the money, isn't it, at the end of the day? What you can actually invest yourself, what you can get back to then invest.
Well, this is it. The only thing with that, though, Steve, is that, you know, once other teams know that you've got, you know, 40 million quid in your back pocket, then, you know, people throw, you know, a few quid on for themselves, don't they? You know, then other players become inflated. So I think if Everton are going to do business, they're probably best to get it done before, you know, that they sell John Stones and it does go public and other teams know exactly, you know, how much that we've got. Because, as I say, the, you know, teams are not soft. They understand now that we're going to be needing a centre-half. And as I say, they're going to be, you know, the price is going to inflate. But good luck to the lad, you know, Steve. I've never had a problem with players who want to move on and, you know, play Champions League football. And obviously, he's going to be able to, you know, to play under one of the best managers in the world, you know. And it's probably just, you know, too good a job to turn down.
Now, how good is the manager you're getting? I mean, we're virtually confident now, aren't we? It'll be announced next week. I'm not sure what it is that's slightly delayed. It's holiday or something like that. But Ronald Koeman, I think all Evertonians will be over the moon with this one.
I think so, but he does all right. So he has more holidays than Jude the Chalmers, but he's already had two this summer. So it's a good one. Do you know what I mean? He's a good one. He's got Premiership experience. You know, he's done really well at Southampton. You know, he's got experience all over the world, hasn't he? You know, he's you know, the teams that he's managed before, you know, he's got a lot of experience, and you know, hopefully that'll something that he can bring to Goodison. And it is dragging on a bit, you know. It's, I think, you know, I've my thumb's aching. I've been on Twitter that much every day to see if we've signed him, and it just doesn't, you know, it does seem to have dragged on. But you know, it's going to be well worth the wait, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, sort of backroom wise, you know, who he's going to bring with him. I know he's going to bring his brother with him, but I don't think little Sammy will be coming to Goodison Park though.
Little Sammy, your thumb won't be aching as much as Jay's. He loves a good tweet. Jay, tell us about the list that Liverpool revealed today, the retained and released list. Do you expect any shock names on them, on either side?
Not really. I mean, there was talk, wasn't he, with Colo Torre that he might get an extension, purely because I think it was down to the Sacco ban, because he didn't know what was going on with that. And it looks like Sacco's probably going to escape it now. He got the ban towards the end of last season, but I don't think we really need Colo Torre now, because when you look at Liverpool next season, we're only in three competitions, we've got no European football, so you know, the games are a little bit more limited, aren't they? So when you've got the centre-halves that you've got in the sense of Lovren, Sacco, the kid that's coming from Schalke, Matip, and also Joe Gomez coming back from injury, I don't think Liverpool really need to get another centre-half because of the games we've got next season. Other than that, I mean, you know, you're looking at the couple of the young kids, the Portuguese lad, Teixeira. He came with a bit of a reputation, didn't he? Where, you know, we paid £1 million for him as such a young kid, and he's just not really developed. I think, is he 23, 24 now? So he's not a kid really anymore, is he? And, you know, obviously he's not really been given much game time, so looks like he's going to move on. Another interesting one, even though obviously his contract's not up for renewal yet, is Lucas, the situation with him, because a lot of Liverpool fans sit on the fence with Lucas. I mean, he's a fantastic professional, there's no doubt about that, but you just got to analyse and think, is he really good enough? And the thing with Klopp, he probably likes him because he can play in a number of roles. He can play centre midfield and he can also play centre-half if needs be. So I think he'll probably get a stay of execution. But, you know, like I say, there's not really many stars in there for me, Steve.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be anything else that'll stand out. Boys, the Euros, are you both excited about it? Mickey?
Go on, Mickey.
Not for me, Steve.
No.
I'll watch it, you know what I mean? But as I say, I just can't have Roy Hodgson at all. And it just sort of, he puts it on the downer for me, the type of football that, you know, that he has England playing. But I'm interested in it as a competition because I enjoy it. It's a month of football in it, you know, throughout the summer, which has always got to be a good thing. But as far as England goes, you know, I think they're going to struggle. And I'm a bit similar to Jay, you know, I don't have much interest in England, but I will, you know, I'll certainly watch the competition because, you know, it's going to be, you know, some great footballers that are going to be playing in it.
Go on, give us some predictions then. Mickey, who's going to win it?
It could go to anyone. I'll go for an outsider. I'll go for the Belgians if they can get it together, because they've got some unbelievable players. If you know, if them boys can get it together as a team, then you know, I think a fancy Belgium as an outside bet
with a Romelu winner. Jay, what about for you?
You know what? It's everyone's talking about France because the host nation, and people are talking about Germany because obviously they normally do well in the big tournaments. But I've still got a sneaky feeling Spain could have a bit in their locker, because if you look at the route to the final, they're probably going to play either England or Portugal in the semis. They're going to avoid France and Germany right the way up to the final if they win their group. Now, the group's very tough because they've got Turkey and Croatia in it, who are decent sides. So I think if they can top that group, then I see no reason why Spain can't get to the final. And I think they could do it again, you know.
Boys, enjoy your Euro festival. We'll catch up with you next week. Thank you very much, Jay and Mickey.
Cheers, lads.
Take care. There's the boys. Fan Friday back next Friday.